Welcome back to episode 184 of Tall Boy Radio. And as we always say, who knows where it goes when the beer flows? Well, I'll tell you where it goes tonight because we've got another guest and we're going to be talking about some flavours. So before we introduce our guest, let's do as we always do and say hello to the irregulars. Dave?
Thanks, Adam. Welcome, listeners. Looking forward to this. It's going to be a very tasty episode, I think, coming up.
And other such puns like that. So if you're watching this live right now, or if you're catching it on the YouTube or the Facebook at a later date, you will see that there is a gentleman to the left of me who is larger than life.
Oh, yes, definitely, most definitely.
Did you want to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hello there, people. Hello, my internet radio or live Instagram, wherever you are in parts of the world. How are you doing? I'm Mr. Biggs Flavors. I'm the king of flavors. That's right. I have dubbed myself as the king of flavors.
And yes. Why not, dude?
Why not? Because I'm that good.
Yeah. Well, this is it. And I will say, everything I've heard, and I will say, I'm ashamed to say, I haven't tried out your food yet.
All right, okay.
But I will. I will. Okay. It's not so easy with a four-year-old and a six-year-old to get out of an evening.
No, not unfortunately. And you only live around the corner from my restaurant as well.
This is true.
This is it. So that means I'm going to charge you twice now.
That seems fair enough. So you mentioned it then, dude. Did you want to tell us a little bit about your restaurant?
Right. So do you want to know the journey or just the restaurant that it is now right now?
Go on, we'll start with the journey first.
Are you sure? You've got all night?
We got all night.
Okay, let me take a sip of this. Well, the journey started right at the start of COVID. Like everybody else, everybody was stuck and we're in the house. We had nothing to do. I've always had a passion of cooking with food and stuff. Like, was being the eldest of the, you know, of 22 grandkids, my cousins, and the eldest in my family as well. So I had to, you know, look after all these little brats. And I had to cook. I had to fend for myself most of the times. So, you know, during lockdown, I started doing little recipes and stuff. And I started posting them on my Snapchat. And a few of my people were like, oh, listen, we can't get any food like this anyway. You can actually cook. So I said, yeah, I could cook. I could throw it down. And he said, oh, can I order some food off you? I'm like, oh, you don't have to order. He says, no, listen, I want to order from family. I'm going to go on Sunday to my mother. So I said, okay, then I'll fix something up. I did that. The same day he texted me, his mom actually sent me a FaceTime a video, and she said, that food was absolutely gorgeous, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, he's having me on. So I asked a couple of my friends to come on when we were allowed to have, like, you know, a bubble of six. So I did some food, and they were like, oh, this food is amazing. You know, they were sat there, they were eating, they were all quiet, and I was like, you know, have I poisoned them or something? That's how worried I was. I was like, oh, my God. They couldn't believe that I could actually cook. And I was like, no, I'm not big for nothing. You know what I mean? I don't just go to McDonald's all the time. That from then on, what I started to do, I started posting and stuff. So I thought, you know what? You know, I got in contact with somebody from Bar 6, which is in the Osage. Yeah. And then we're like, you know, we're not doing anything, right? So why not rent out the kitchen and then do your thing? I said, ah, no problem. So I created a menu where people have to pre-order the food, what I'm going to cook on the day. So this was my first ones when I, the famous one, which is Flavors Platter, which is like a buttermilk chicken, waffles with syrup, chips, prawns, and mac and cheese. And being half American, you understand.
Yeah.
That's something really, it sounds really good. And it's something I like eating as well. So, you know, I had like 77 people, you know, on the first day of my opening. And and people came, they pre-ordered, they ordered the food, they had the food. And I was like, oh, I kept on doing it. I said, I'm gonna keep on doing this on like 2 days a week. So I chose 2 days a week in the year I was there. It was successful. And then the year and a half, I thought, you know, I might go down to Stoke because I'm originally from Stoke-on-Trent. So I thought, you know, I'll get a place in Bentley, which was near everywhere, more central. So I got a place there, thankfully, with Bentley volunteers. They helped me out with the kitchen. Big, big help them guys are. So I went down there as well. So it got to that last year when I thought to myself, do you know what? It's either make or break. I've got to get my own place. I have to get my own place. I need to get my own place. You know, it got to a point where like I either give up or just put everything, all my cards in it. So I thought, why not? Got to it, got three jobs, saved up, went to like 18 places to get a place. Like I tried everywhere, Stafford, Newcastle, all these different venues, yeah, to get, you know, Mr. Big's Flavors up and running. I didn't give up. And then the last 17th one was the place in Osage, and the rest is history.
Fair play. I mean, to be honest with you, you've got to take your hat off to anybody starting a business, but starting a business in the current economic climate, it's pretty brave.
It's very, very brutal. Mm. I'm not gonna, you know, it's all well and good that I'm here smiling and everything, but at this moment of time, small businesses, it's very, very brutal. It is really, really brutal, because what I've learned starting off a business is, like, when you start off a business, everybody wants a piece of your cake. They do. And I'm talking insurances or anything, sponsors, charities, anything. And this has only been like 10 months of your business. So you'd see the money going in, but it's not making any sense.
No, goes out just as quick.
Just as quick. It's absolute. And the amount of money that's going out, you're thinking, and I know, which is why the first year of some businesses that they do a make or break, right? Now, the thing is, with anybody who's starting off a business, anybody, first of all, you have to have the right team, the right partner, the right people around you to keep you pushing and keep you making, believing that dream. Because it's like that saying is, like, you know, when you have a picture, there's a picture of somebody digging for a diamond, and then they're halfway, they're nearly there, and they give up, while the other person just keeps on going and finds the jackpot. And that's what it is with business.
So is this your first attempt at business? Is it?
No, this has been like, I've had a few businesses in the past. You know, I used to have a cleaning business, you know, and all this. So I've had a few businesses in the past. You know, I was a self-employed DJ as well, and a promoter. So I understand very well from an early age, in fact, when I was younger, I understood about supply and demand. And this is when I was younger, because, like, obviously originally I'm from Africa in Zambia. So my granddad is from Stoke-on-Trent. So when he came to England to work and all that, I met my grandma and all that, had their kids. So when my mum moved to the UK for education and stuff, and I still stayed in Africa when I was about 7 or 8, she would send me, like, Walkmans or CD players or CDs or this kind of stuff that's hard to get there. And I would, like, make double the amount of what, because it's from England. I'd blag it to other people, say, listen, this is not just from China or something like that. This is from UK. You know what I mean? This is from Elizabeth II land, where, you know, anything that passes through UK has to have that stamp of approval. Do you understand what I mean? So then I would get the value of it 3 times as more. So I understood from an early age, of supply and demand. So business has always been in my blood.
Yeah, fair play. So do you remember much then of your early time back in Africa? Is that something that's, I know family is huge.
Yeah, it's huge, especially when it comes to food, because I learned from an early age, especially when you're having loads of your cousins and when you're staying over and there's loads of the cousins, right, around. So you have my aunties, my mom, my grandpa, my grandma, they'll be cooking food and there'll be loads of us there. We'll be playing somewhere and you can smell all this food, all these fragrances, and you see all the family coming alive. Because usually with big families, there's always a lot of arguments or whatever and all that. But when it comes to when it's time for food, you feel like some kind of a peace, serenity going on. You know what I mean? People start talking about, women are talking, men are on that side, they're talking, kids are just playing. And then when the food was presented to us, we all sat down, we all got together, washed our hands, and then we all grabbing for the food. And the thing is, what's so good about it as well is, like, the young person is always getting the less of the food. Do you know what I mean? It's that animal instinct of being a family who's seen as the hierarchy and stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's an amazing experience. So you're young, and food tastes better when you're surrounded by loads of people. You know what I mean? It tastes a lot better than eating, you know, a frozen dinner or something that you have to defrost in the microwave.
This is true. So is that something then that you've brought into your restaurant?
Yes. Do you know, the dream was with anything that I've always known I'm going to create something, because I have a huge respect for artists, painters, music, whatever that you have to create. I know that's something a bit of, like, every creation, every creator, you can look at about Leonardo da Vinci, all these things, they always put a bit of their soul in their creation. So I always knew, like, you know, I've always liked music, first with my lover's music, DJing and stuff, and you know, I was creating that sort of stuff. But with the food and whatever that I was doing, I always knew that the end result is that I want everybody, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what gender, what nationality, is to enjoy whatever that I've created. And it's a blessing that I've got a place like Mr. Big's Flavors, where kids, you know, come in, all different nationalities, people from all different types of the world, they come around and they're having a good time, because that's who I am. I love to have a good time, and I like a vibe. I like a good vibe. So seeing people coming out, eating my food and having a good time, and they go out and they be like, oh, do you know what? I had a great time. That's to me, that's rewarding. Yeah, more rewarding than anything.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah. So Dave, who's on the podcast here as well, who's the other host, we can't forget about him as well.
Right, Dave.
Dave. I was just thinking, it's like having Gaz on the podcast, can't get a word in edgeways. I mean, if he was here as well, we'd be knackered. I was going to ask a question. You say your roots come from Zambia, but you're also on your Instagram, you've got Afro-Caribbean. So have you got Caribbean roots as well?
Well, I've got most of my family members. With the Caribbean roots, yeah, I've got some family members who are from Caribbean and from Jamaica and such. And growing up in England, my Caribbean influence like expanded even more, because like I was hanging around with loads of Jamaicans, Trinidad, Barbados, all these people around, and that influenced my upbringing as well. So I was used to taste all these different types of food. So when I was traveling, I traveled mostly in the Caribbean. And I used to taste all these different kinds of foods. And then, you know, with my travels, I've been not just only in the Caribbean, I'll go to America, Europe, and France, Italy, just tasting all these different types of foods. And I've got to understand that each food that I consume, or anybody that consumes, tells a story. So I saw a market where where we're living right now, there's not that many people over the Caribbean food in Cheshire, especially in Cheshire. So I thought, why not share that sort of experience in England, in Cheshire? Because most people from this area, they would have to go out of the country to taste this sort of food. So I thought, why not bring it around here?
Yeah, absolutely. My wife is Jamaican, or her parents Catherine was born here, parents born in Jamaica. But she doesn't cook loads of Jamaican food. I think because mum and dad lived here for her entire life, so she doesn't have those. They don't have those heavy influences.
No, you know what it is as well is the time as well, because what you must think about as well, because the time when her parents were in England, to get the ingredients was much harder than it is now. Because at the moment, things are more diverse, especially when you go into Tesco's or Asda's or any of these big supermarkets. They'll have an aisle, world foods. And when you go down there, you see all these spices and stuff that you can put into your meals. So like this generation, especially my generation now growing up, there's no excuses at all, because you can educate your kids. And just what I want to do on my podcast and on my YouTube as well is where I can show you how to make simple, elegant, and ingredients that they can have, but it's out of this world as well, but tastes good. So it's understandable.
Where in terms of Africa, the Caribbean, and stork, which of those three?
What accent is that?
I don't know. For someone who's lived around here for 50 years. That is a terrible Stoke accent.
No, I remember I lived in Essex for quite a while. Okay. If you had to put those three, and there's probably lots of other influences, but how does Stoke fit into your flavour profile? How much influence would you say there is? You can say none, by the way.
No, there is some influence, right? Believe it or not, right, I'm going to tell you something. This is the first time I'm ever going to admit to anywhere, even though I've been on radios and TV, but this is your first time right here, on Tall Boy Radio. My go-to meal, right? If I had to go on a last meal, I'm sorry, Grandma, sorry, Mom, but my last meal will be a Sunday dinner.
Wow.
I am telling you right now, right? If you've got the right gravy, the right meat, you got me. That's it. That is it. Sunday dinner, good Sunday dinner. And I'm not the only one, because I've just recently been to Portugal and Afro Nation, and I did an interview with a, I think he's from Ghana. I apologize if I got him wrong, but it's either some Ghana or Eastern African part of the world. And I said to him, and I was asking him one of my questions when I interviewing these people, he goes, oh, what is your motherland meal? What's your favorite go-to meal? And he said to me, he said, listen, you're gonna be surprised. And I knew straight away he was going to say, and he said to me, my go-to meal is a Sunday dinner. that so my influence with from Stoke, yeah, is from, it's not, what's that meal that really I can't stand? There's another meal that everybody's gonna hate me for saying this.
Lobby.
Lobby.
No, I'm with you.
No, I like lobby.
Dave, not bad enough you can't say Stoke. Now you're trying to say that you're like lobby. Just the name lobby.
It's not appetizing.
Lob. You know what I mean? So, I'm sorry. I know there's going to be a lot of Stokies saying, Biggie, what do you know? And oatcakes as well. Oatcakes is a big influence because, like, I've got a recipe called jerk oatcake. So it's jerk chicken with the sauces wrapped in an oatcake with cheese. I haven't put it out there in my restaurant yet, but my early meals, that's what I was doing. I was a big seller. Now, back to the Sunday dinner. Like, there's some days when I do a Sunday, when I'm open on a Sunday, and we would put Sunday dinner on. And let me tell you now, most of my customers that come for the Sunday dinners are, you got the Asian community, a big, big Asian community that come in for my Sunday dinners, and there's African community as well. They come in for the Sunday dinners. Like, and it's interesting as well with foods, right? What you must understand, like, the English people, we'll go for a curry, no problem. That's a go-to.
Oh, yeah.
They love a curry. That's a national dish.
Yeah.
Over the fish and chips.
Yeah, like tikka masala.
Tikka masala is the national dish, and the most popular one. It's insane. Yeah. But like when you go into the curry houses, you don't see much of the Asian community in there because at home, they're cooking that food. So when it comes to Sunday dinners and stuff, like when people from the African community and the Asian community, their parents or grandparents or whatever, they won't know anything much about Sunday dinners. But when they're growing up in Stoke, when they're going into school and stuff like that, their friends, they go, no, I'm going to go home and have a Sunday dinner. Mm. So you, all of us will be like, what's this Sunday dinner? But I'm lucky enough because I come from my family is very diverse because my granddad is English, he's British. So Sunday dinners has always been part of, you know, my upbringing, but it's always been my favorite meal. So the influence with Stoke has is, with them sort of foods, them sort of different English type of foods where, you know, lobby, there's sometimes I like lobby if it's done right. If it's done the Mr. Biggs way.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's done Mr. Biggs way, then it's a good lobby.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of lobby, dude. So I'm with you that one. It literally just looks like it is what it is. It's leftovers in a bowl, isn't it?
Do you know what it is? Like with any chef or anyone would say, like, it's just, do you know what with lobby is? A poor man's food, because all the stuff that, you know, was left over, not given to the lords or whatever, you just put in a pot and put water in and put salt and pepper in and that's it.
Yeah.
Leave it on, and onions.
Yeah, it's not,
there's no pizzazz in there. Do you know what I mean? There's just it's Molly, isn't it? Molly, she's boring, isn't she? It's Molly.
Bless her. Yeah. So it's interesting there that you say, because one of the things that, like you say, in England, curries, Indian food is hugely popular. And I'm lucky enough to have visited India. My dad lived there for a while and I went and I stayed with him. And the Indian food that you do get to eat over there is actually quite different to the Indian food that you do get here. You know, so there are those that do, you know, much more authentic meals, but you only have to walk down the All Sages High Street. And if it ain't a charity shop,
you know, it's an Indian.
There's quite a few.
Now, the thing is, that's the same with Chinese food, you know.
Yeah.
Chinese food, what we eat here, if you ask a Chinese person, like, they'll be like, this is absolutely garbage. Honestly, have you ever gone to a Chinese food, like, say, a buffet, and you see Chinese family in there?
Never.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now, Indian food, the Indian food industry will always be popular. Reason being is, if you look at, you know, historical, this is why so food is so good. Yeah, I'm going to sound like a geek, but historically speaking, when there was a tidal wave after the World War II, when, you know, Indians and the Caribbeans were coming over to England, they brought a new sort of flavor, new seasoning, new pizzazz. And the English, like from your grandparents or whatever, they've always just known a curry. So curry will always be in the blood because your kids, it's like McDonald's. See, McDonald's, like in the 70s or whatever, the kids who grew up like our parents, they know McDonald's. So what do we do as kids? We know McDonald's. So we go to McDonald's instinctively. We know it's gross. Yeah. You know, like, there's nobody that can agree to me and say, oh, I fancy a Mackey's, it's beautiful, whatever. It's either you're drunk, or you haven't had a Mackey's for like 2 years or something, and you feel like, but because you've known it since you were a kid. And that's the same with the Indian foods. Mm. Now, because we're in this era of social media, right? And people, and this is why mostly as well, like my business is popular, is because right now we're living in a world of gluttony and a world of showing off. So there's a lot of people, if you ever go, I'm guilty as well. I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, if I go somewhere, I don't take a picture of the food. I will take the picture of the food. I'm that guy. But you do go have a lot of people. You go to a restaurant, they're taking pictures, they're doing this. Now, because of that, a lot of businesses right now, restaurants, if you're doing it right, they're thriving because a lot of people, especially English, because before the English people, like I'd say 10 years ago, arguably, I just like fish and chips, that's that. If I go on holiday, I'm going to a British pub and this, and that. Yeah. But now there's a generation of my generation and their kids where they're trying out different foods because what they see on TikTok, what they see on Instagram, something that's all different, they can see it there. So they want to try it now.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what it is. Now, if you look at all the different places now, you see a lot of curry houses are shutting down. Yeah. Not many, but they are shutting down. But they're still there. And the only reason why they're still there is because of nostalgia. Now, there's a new wave now of restaurants. If you go in these different restaurants, if you go to Manchester or London or whatever, it's all plastered in flowers. It looks good. The box is brilliant. But the food is absolutely cack.
Right.
Yeah? So that's what's happened. So that's why I got to a point as a chef, as a person who loves food, is like, I'm sick of paying X amount of money, but I don't feel fulfilled. Now, if you ever asked anybody, when you do come, right, Adam?
I will come. I will come, I promise.
Anybody that has my food, if they pay what they pay on another food, they leave satisfied. They leave, they go home and sleep, they have a kip. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like when you go some places where you pay £100 or £200, yeah. 2 hours later, you're hungry, you're rummaging for the food, not with Mr. Biggs's food. That's a good promotion, and it's free promotion.
a lot of what we do is, we're Tallboy Radio. When we get guests on, obviously, you know, we get to hear your story. We get to find out about stuff that we don't know about.
Yeah.
And a lot of our listeners join in and listen because they're finding out about stuff that they don't know about.
Yeah,
your story.
Yeah, so that's the thing with the food. So like now when people go out, you start to notice different things. Like, okay, I understand what you're saying. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So when I go out, I was just on a safe bet. I'll try out all these different foods. But if there's a steak or a ribeye on the menu, I would choose a ribeye all the way, all the time, just to see how they can do a right ribeye. Then that chef is getting all the other food is good.
Ah, fair play.
Yeah,
fair play. But it's very true, actually. I hadn't thought about it. People are more inclined to try things, because they're seeing it on, like, say, social media, Instagram, TikTok. Yeah. It is literally everywhere.
Yeah. So like, social media is like the new word of mouth.
Yeah. And that's obviously a big part of what you do. You seem to have that banged on you.
Oh, yeah, I've got a big mouth there. You know what I mean? Adam and Dave, I've got a massive mouth for me. So I learned, again, through businesses, right? With any business, word of mouth trumps anything. You can. There's companies out there that are paying millions and billions of pounds on marketing and stuff, right? But the biggest market that will always, you know, stand to the testament of time is word of mouth. Because with my sort of with my Instagram, what I'll do, like I'll put my, you know, pictures, the food, where people like give me feedback and such and whatever, and then they will come like, okay, let me try this food, let me see if he's really what he says he is, you know what I mean? He looks cocky. Let me go and see. And they do come, and you know, I've seen it as well. I'll tell you a story right now. This is what's so powerful about food and word of mouth. Yeah. So there was a guy who emailed me. He messaged me on my Instagram. This is the first time, like 3 months I was opened in Mr. Big's Flavors. He was like, can I ask a question? I said, yeah, of course. He's like, why is your food halal? And I said, well, because one, it's I trust the meat and I want everybody, you know, everybody who to try my food. Because where I come from, where I was born, to most of my people are like Muslim or their religion, or it's not even religion, they just prefer the meat. It's all around it. He's like, oh, no, not for me. Me and my family won't be going down. And I replied back. I said, oh, it's really, really, really so sorry that you feel that way. But can I ask a question? When you're on a Friday night, you're drunk. When you're drunk, do you ever go to a kebab? No, never. Vegetarian. So, all right, then. Have you ever tried a curry? Yes, I have. Well, you do know that food is allowed, don't you? Like, the takeaways that you like, the kebabs and all that. That is allowed. No. I said, okay, fair enough. Right. 2 weeks later, he came in, he tried, he ordered the food, right? He ordered the food and this, and that, yeah. And then We told him 40 minutes, don't be 40 minutes, he'll be ready in 20 minutes, do not go anywhere. This man took 40 minutes to come.
Yeah.
He had his food. He ate all the food, everything got out of the box. Then he left the review saying, oh, the food was cold, it's overpriced, and it wasn't too much. This is so I replied on my review. Like, you can go on Google reviews. It's so funny, but I did it in a professional way where I was like, oh, you know, so sorry that you feel that way and such. Even though before that you told us that you would never, ever dare to enter our premises or eat any of our halal food and it wasn't that good. You know, I do appreciate that you came in, so forth. Then he messaged me straight away and said, do you know what? Fair play to you. I'm not going to lie. The food was absolutely amazing. That's what he said to me. The food was absolutely... Have you got some ackee and saltfish? Because that's the stuff that I was eating when I was in Krabi. I said, yes, come, brother. You come around. You can have some. So when he come, I saw him because there's a camera in my kitchen. So when he come in, I was like, oh, let me deliver this food to this guy. So when there's a, hi, mister, how you doing? You're all right. Please let me know what you feel about the food. It's nice. If it isn't, please let me know, okay? See you later. Have a lovely day. Bye. Come. It's brilliant. I love it. I do.
There was a business in Crewe called Beer Doc. I don't know if you remember it. Like, no. It was on Nantwich Road. And they had a similar sort of thing. They had a guy coming in. Obviously, the thing is with craft beer, you know yourself, it is quite expensive.
Yeah.
So if you want to just drink, you know, your typical lager, then fair play to you if that's what you enjoy. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But you're going to be paying a hell of a lot more if you like your craft beer. And this guy had gone in and he took offense at the prices. And he left loads of reviews on TripAdvisor. So what these guys did, they literally just took each one of his views off and put one on the back of the beer, man.
See, that sort of sense of humor I live for that sort of sense of humor, because that's the sort of thing that I would do, pettiness, but in a good way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So imagine you come in, or his friends would come in, and they'll see this and take a picture.
Exactly, yeah. It just became like a running joke, you know what I mean?
But it was brilliant. It's brilliant. It's stuff like that, yeah, because other people, like, I would show that message to people, right? Loads of people will be fuming. They'll be like, "How could I dare?" He said, because in his rant, it says, "I've heard, right. Spend a minute. I've heard your food is amazing. I've heard that the food is great. I want to come and try." So everybody want to show that message. They were taking it as an insult, but I was like, "No. I'll take that as a compliment, because there's people out there telling him that my food is actually good. It's really, really good, and that's made me happy. And that's what's so good about word of mouth again, because." He didn't go on Instagram or anything like that. His friends told him about my food. The people around him kept on telling him, you need to go there, you need to go there. And from you, you're telling me as well, like, I've heard it from a lot of people, oh, I've heard your food, nothing bad or anything. That's amazing. For me, as a chef and a business owner, then I'm doing something right. It's emotional.
Well, I guess if people are talking about it, and we sort of feel the same thing, you know, we haven't had many negative reviews here on a podcast, but we do get them from time to time.
Yeah.
And we don't mind.
Because, I don't mind them. Like, I've always said this. I've always said this. Yeah, sorry to cut you off. I've always said this, that if you don't get haters in your life, you're doing something wrong.
Mm.
You're doing something wrong. I mean, for crying out loud, Jesus, he was a saint. He still had haters, and he ended up being crucified for it. The man did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it doesn't matter who you are or whatever you are in life, regardless, you can't please 8 billion people. You just can't.
No.
You can't. 1% of 8 billion people, I don't know what numbers, could be like 4 million or whatever. I don't know, but at least if you can impress 1% of the people's population on the earth, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've always said, even to the younger people as well, and all that, you don't have to impress or be liked by everybody. As long as you've got 3 or 2 people that actually like you, then you do something right.
Yeah, amen.
You know?
Amen. So while we're talking about promotion then, so you're taking it beyond social media, because I've seen you on Channel 5.
Oh, yes. Oh, goodness. Yes, Channel 5. That was an experience.
Yeah, I watched that the other day.
Yeah, but that was jokes.
It was entertaining. Do you want to tell us about that experience, what that was like then? I mean, the cameras following you around.
It was, do you know what? Like, I'm not going to sit and lie and say that I was shy or it was daunting or... You know, I'm a superstar that I needed makeup everywhere I went, getting packed. No, it was, weirdly enough, my friend, Chat Barbers, he's another business owner in Stoke-on-Trent, he cuts hair. He was, he was doing some sort of documentary or something that they were filming in. I think it was Channel 4 or something they were filming in. And he told me, oh, come on, we need your character here. You just need to come in, like I usually do when you come in. So I come in, you know, and all that. So cameras were on me all the time now. So I'm busting jokes like I always do in barbers, being a nuisance. So the producer, he came to me and he said, listen, I've got an idea of a show for you. You fit perfectly in the show. What's your address? What's your email? What's your contact? I'll get one of the other producers to get contact you. So they contacted me and told them, so they said, oh, there's a story that we're running called Big Brits Go Large. And it's about people who are bigger, larger than life, but are comfortable and happy. Basically saying a fat, jolly man. That's what they wanted. Basically. That's
like Santa.
Like Santa. They were saying it in a political, you know how these lawyers are, they say it in a political way. And I'm like, okay, fair dues. I'll get on that because either way, any promotion is better than everywhere. And if it's national promotion, I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Yes, I'll sign me on, whatever. Went through all the necessary stuff that needs to be done. And then cameras started following me around the journey of my business of Mr. Big Swag. And this is before my restaurant, because I was saying on there that my dream is to have a restaurant. This was like last year, I think it was like, yeah, was it last year? No, year before that. So it was 2021 it was. So they were following me then, they were following my journey, wherever I was going and all that. Sadly, you know, with my family and everything and all that. But sadly, it was like, when they aired the show, there was loads of stuff they missed out. There was tons of good material. And they missed out on loads of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. But they didn't really concentrate much on my business side, concentrating on the madam side. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like how much of a boss and a princess she is. So that was still good for me as well. That was a double-edged sword for everybody. Oh, yeah. That was still good. I had messages. If she doesn't want you, I'll have you. I'm like, no, ladies, now. Come on. I know I'm a big man, but there's only room for one. Come on. Let her say this so she keeps off and stuff. So after that, I got a lot of people who noticed it. You're also good about Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire. If you're from Staffordshire or Stoke-on-Trent or anything like that, there's a lot of people that will support you.
Yeah.
A lot of people that will support. Yes, there's also going to be a lot of people that will say what they've got to say, but there's a higher number of people that will support you because you're from Stoke or whatever, and they've known you, and it's a familiar face. Everybody tuned in. I'm sure if I go to Channel 5 and say to them that they had the most showing on my episode than anybody else, but they'll never admit that. So, they were like, oh my God, I saw you on TV. Or I'll be walking somewhere like an Asda, I'll be shopping and be like, have I seen you on TV? And I'll be like, I don't know. Maybe. Like, I'm sure. I've seen. And then the woman would come around. Hey, I've seen your Channel 5. You were that guy. This is Mr. Big. I said, yeah. I'm coming to your restaurant. Thank you. Well, I'll see you there.
Winner.
It was a winner for me.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. I'd be like, I'll be the big fat jolly guy. No problem. That's what my name is on. Anyway, Mr. Big's Flavors.
That's it.
I mean, like, would you trust a skinny chef?
I've always said this. I don't trust a skinny chef because if they're not eating the food, then...
Then what's going on? Do you know what I mean, Dave? What's going on? I'm not saying anything. If I say anything, I'll get comments of being a chauvinism or something like that. The world that we live in, are we going to get cancelled now?
Yeah, I'm not saying nothing. You're quite right.
Okay. Clear the fifth. That's amazing.
No, but it is. I mean, like I say, I watched it. It was an entertaining program, to be honest with you. Yeah, so fair play. Great bit of promotion. Have you got anything else in the pipeline plan like that?
Oh, yes. Well, there's a few things that are coming up, right, which I don't want to say much, but I do know that I'm doing my own What's the Flavor TV on YouTube. So what I do,
okay,
is like when I just come from Portugal, I would go to Afro Nation, obviously, with Afro Nation. If anybody doesn't know about Afro Nation, is all the African music and Afro beats or whatever, they all go to different parts of the world and make a big festival, and everybody enjoys all these artists that come in from Africa. Now, when I went last year, in fact, that Afro Nation was the one that inspired me to even push myself to get myself a restaurant. Because when I went there, for a person who's migrated from Africa to another place in Europe or whatever, I always thought that I'm the only one. But when I went to Afro Nation, there was like 1,000, like 50,000 people that have like migrated from Africa and gone somewhere and they're doing something. Everybody's loving life. And, you know, so I thought, you know what, there's something in here. I'm going to get a camera, get a mic. So me and my brother booked for this year. So we went and we started interviewing everybody, asking them where they're from and where they're originally from, where they're living now. What do they eat? What sort of flavors they like? What they like? It's a good fun. Like there was one scene where we're in the city center and it was like 5:30 in the morning and it was crowded full of people. So we had the camera on and there was a guy with a speaker who was going around with music. So I started dancing, you know, I started creating a crowd of people. We're dancing, me and my brother, he gets off the camera. I took the camera, I'm recording it. So it was such a good experience because again, with my food and the personality I have, I just like to have a good time. And I also through my TV or podcast, I want to show people like, you know, Africa is not just what you see on Oxfam or anything like that. No, there isn't. There's so much culture, so much flavor, so much history, so much wealth that is there that, you know, like so much happiness. Everybody's always happy. Do you know what I mean? Just want to have a good time. Mm. And it's the only event I've ever been where there's no trouble or animosity. It's just all different types of people from all over the world. English people, you've got French people, you've got Swedish, all types of people just go in, and it's an amazing experience. And that's like with my food as well. With my food, with every dish that I serve or any recipe that I make, I always put all this stuff that I've come from influencing, like from Stoke, Sheffield, America, a bit of Africa. This, I put them all into my food. So like, you know, for example, say the flavors box, the flavors platter. My flavors platter, you got the chips, okay, the fries, the seasoned fries, okay, that's France. You got the waffles and the chicken, the butter chicken and the syrup, that's America. Mm. Then you got the prawns with the seasoning, that's Spain, you know what I mean? And then you got the mac and cheese, again, that could be English and American, you know what I mean? So I always implement something that I've experienced from all different nations as well into the food. And that's what, you know, Afro Nation and food as well is about. It's about the combination to bring something that is beautiful and delicious.
Fair play. So it's a little bit of education then for folks as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I like. But educate, food for thought.
That's it. Bringing them on that journey with you.
Food for thought. Yeah.
Mr. Biggs, have you ever had any formal chef training?
Do you know what? Right. Everybody asks me, a few people ask me this, and the answer is no. I'm just self-taught. Everything that all the recipes that I do, especially there's a popular one, right? It's called Zamgolian chicken, right? Now, Zamgolian is because I'm half Zambian and half Angolan. My mum's from Zambia, and my dad is from Angola. And I've always had this weird, even tattooed on me since I was 16. I've always had that weird, like I put my two heritages together and I've called it Zamgolian. Mm. So when I created the chicken wing recipe and I did my own sauce, which is a zest sauce, and it's really popular as well. I call it Zamgolian wings. Good. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely good. So I forgot the question now. It's this beer.
It is strong beer, to be fair.
It was about your lack of professional training.
Yes. Okay, that's it. Lack of my professional training.
It's got away with words.
I love this. I like it. And this is what's so good about it, because there's people who've had 10 years. Do you know, like, there's chefs who've had 10 years of training and experiences or whatever. They've worked on these sort of... They actually come in. I have, like, secret chefs coming into my restaurant. And they legitly call me out. And when I go out, I say hello to everybody. And they be like, listen, I'm a chef. And your food is absolutely amazing. It's gorgeous. It's something I've never tasted before. Hearing that from a chef who's had more prior experience than me is like, well, thank you. Yeah. Like, I've been into your restaurant. Like, they'll name me the restaurant to the bin. Like, there's one in All Sages. I can never say it's Levivore. Restaurant.
Oh yeah, Luvia's.
Yeah,
the Italian.
Absolutely amazing. Like, I am picky eater. Like, not like a picky eater per se, but I pick where I eat. And Italian food, and I love Italian food. When I went to Italy, the food, if anybody's ever been to Italy, the food is absolutely amazing. It's fresh. And then when I went into that restaurant, the chef, who I knew him, Ilias, he's a god on the chef. He is an absolute god. But this man, before his shift, he will order my burgers and stuff like that. And he'd be like, I want to eat your food. And I'm like, but I want to eat your food though, bro. Like, your food is absolutely good. So yeah, with regards of like, you know, I haven't had any training. Now imagine, Dave, if I did have any professional training, I'd be different. I'd be a different monster.
Yeah, but it might be a negative as well, because I think a lot of the passion and you just trying stuff is what creates what you serve. And if you have formal training, that could, you know, narrow where you go with it.
I never thought of it like that, you know, Dave, because I'm always worried about, like, am I good enough? You know, everybody always does this. You know, you get to a point where you're like, am I good enough? But each time, every week, like, your food is amazing. Like, my least favorite food on my menu is actually my popular one, if I want to be honest, and that's the flavors platter. I actually can't stand that dish. Because everybody's like, why? Your chicken is amazing. I'm like, it's not the chicken that I want. Do you know what I mean? Like, what you got in your head, that it's not the chicken that I want to taste. It's not good for me. I shouldn't even save it. There's so many times I want to get it off the menu, but my partner be like, no, do not do that. That's your wish. That is your signature dish. And it's like, I always, you know, second guess myself, like, am I, you know, and you know, when chefs come in and everything, and I'm always thinking, oh, they're probably just thinking that this is just some backwater stuff that, you know what I mean, that's not good for their taste buds. But what I've learned about food is food never lies. Like, you can know yourself growing up or whatever, you can taste something like Marmite and you'd be like, that's not for me. Or yeah, somebody can taste Marmite and be like, oh yeah, that is for me, that is. Which is, are you a Marmite person?
I'm not, no, foul stuff,
Dave.
I love Marmite, yeah.
Yeah, you
love your Marmite. Yeah, he's living the dream.
You do seem like a Marmite person, Dave. I'm not going to lie.
I could take it or leave it.
You can take it. What about oysters? You like oysters?
Oh, God, no.
No, see what I mean? No. I like oysters. Do you know what I mean? That's what's so weird about food and what's so amazing about food. So, you know, like, one other person's taste to, you know, it's different. It's always different. Like, chefs will agree with me with like this as well. Like, when I'm cooking my food in a day in a restaurant, I don't want to eat my food because I'm surrounded by food.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then at the end of my shift, I'll go down Stoke. I'll be like a Sweet and Spice or a Dixie's. And then I have people be like, what are you doing here? That's the looks like it. What are you doing? I was like, I'm human. I need to eat. I want food. I said, yeah, but this food is garbage compared to yours. What's going on? Yeah, but I've been around it all day. I don't want to eat that. I want to eat somebody else's cooking. It's a weird way. It's a weird experience.
It is. So, what's next? What do you have planned for Mr. Beast? What's the end goal of this? How far are you going to take it?
Do you want me to be very, very honest with you?
Yeah, dude.
The cooking has never been my end goal. cooking has never been the goal. You know what I mean? The goal, the main goal. Like, but from where I am right now, I want to survive another year. Let's see what our government's going to make up, you know, their own rules, so we have to pay more taxes or something.
Yeah, well, it will.
Is there another royal wedding or something that we have to fund?
Well, I don't know. There could be time for another coronation.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Another so-so, whatever meal, whatever they decide. So, but the main goal for Mr. Big Flavor is to have chains. That's what I want. I want, like, at least a chain in Dubai, a chain in Africa, obviously a few chains in England as well. That is my dream. That is the end. That is the big plan, per se. That's what it is.
Would that be a chain where you open and own the stores, or franchising the name out?
See, the thing is with franchising, and what I've noticed as well with other flavors, because I care about my food. Do you know what I mean? I care what food is going to go out to people. Because what I've learned from franchises, if you ever go to a franchise, whatever, it's never the same as the one that you were, what town you ever been brought up into, whatever you've had. Like, say, for McDonald's. McDonald's is different in each part of the world. They serve different things. Yes, the ingredients and the recipes are the same, but some things are never the same. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could teach you a recipe and it won't taste the same as mine. You know what I mean? So with franchising, you haven't got much control, have you?
No.
You haven't got much control with franchising. No. And I don't want that. I don't want to lose control. And it's because, like, I'm a like a trophy or anything like that. It's my name on the door. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's my face is on the door. So I don't want to, people will go in and go eat my food and would have heard all this hype and then eat garbage. I don't want to do that. Do you know what I mean? I mean, if it was a, if it was a different name, you know, call it something else, whatever. Yeah, why not? Whatever. Yeah. If I'm just in it for the numbers, yeah, whatever. But if I'm going to be honest with you, Dave, I'm in it for the love of the, and the passion of the food. Do you know what I mean? And when I came into this business, I wasn't thinking about the money at all. I was just thinking of feeding people good food because there's rubbish food about and I want to eat good food as well. Like, I enjoy what I do. You know, like, I, sometimes when I'm in the midst of the business and all the craziness and, you know, getting all these orders in, I'm not going to lie to you, yeah, I smile. I really do. Like, and then my partner will be like, what are you smiling at? And I'm thinking in my head, like, I love this shit. I love it. You know what I mean? Like, I look in the camera and then my restaurant is full. And I'm like, people are actually, like, I was the boy, yeah. I was the poster boy. Like, I was the boy growing up without a father, whoever, always messing up, the black sheep of the family. Do you know what I mean? One's always messing up. But people are actually coming to eat my food. Like, and, you know, when kids come in and parents or sisters or aunts, they come in, they choose my place for their birthday celebrations or anniversary. It's a blessing. That sort of thing is, it's I can't. I feel like Michael Jackson when he used to perform, you know, when people would come in.
I'm pleased he said when he was performing.
When he's performing, you know what I mean? When he's performing, we can't deny he's the greatest artist of all time. But, you know, when so many people say that you're a crackhead, you're a crackhead. So, but either way, like, it, you know, it's just, I love what I do. You know, it's not about the money at all. It's just, I just, even if 10 people were coming to me all the time and just eating my food, that would be enough for me. So that, yeah, the big plan is not to have it as a franchise because I really do care about the food that goes out and I want people to enjoy the food because at the end of the day, it's hard enough right now for having spare money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if people are coming to your, to my restaurant or any restaurant and spending the money, especially in these hard times, it's a blessing. You don't want to waste their time or, you know, they want to eat something nice after, you know, all the BS that's going on. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, franchise is a no-no for me. It's chain more than anything.
Would you ever take it on Dragon's Den?
There's a sauce, you know, that I do have.
Okay.
I've spoken about this.
Okay.
If I could take my sauce, because I've seen, obviously, Levi Roots. He's from there. I'm not going to lie. Right? I know he's going to be biased and whatever. Like, his sauce is not... Okay, it's good for some. Again, it's the Marmite thing, Dave. We're going back to the Marmite thing. Some may like Levi Roots' sauce, some may not like Levi Roots' sauce. But my sauce, I know they're definitely lying.
Yeah,
I know definitely for sure. Oh, yeah, it's the sauce. That's the sauce, Dave. That's the sauce. Do you know, why not?
Yeah.
I could do it. Like, if when I have time, yeah, I could do it. I could go, can you imagine me just walking on? Dragon's Den, right, you guys. I'm gonna make you millionaires twice over.
Well, I tell you what, I think you've got the personality for it.
Reckon?
Yeah, we have a couple of friends and they had a gin company up in Scotland and they went on Dragon's Den.
Really?
Yeah, and similar sort of experience that they had to yourself when you were on TV.
Yeah.
They filmed an awful lot of it, didn't use an awful lot of it. So they had literally, you know, they were there all day because it was a gin.
Yeah.
They obviously kept their product till the very end because you can't have the dragons getting pissed off.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so they stayed there till the very, very end and then they just used 2 minutes of it and they were there first thing in the morning. They've been on this podcast. They actually came on on our podcast the night before they went round to Dragon's Den. And we ran them through the paces. We, you know, they said, nothing's off limit. Ask us everything you like about the business. Yeah. Oh, we gave them a torrid time. Oh, yeah, we gave them a good preparation because they didn't get an offer.
They didn't get an offer. Oh, my God, that's not good.
But I will say this, though. It was a very, very good gin.
Yeah, very good gin.
Really good
gin. Are these carried on with the venture?
No, they unfortunately called it a day, but he has. We'll give him a shout out. We've been on the podcast. It's novelwalls.com. Go check that out. That's his new business venture. So, yeah, that's our friend Dave. So,
okay,
yeah.
All right.
So, what they do, and we will, I think, you know, I've mentioned to the wife, I like to put something on this wall behind us here, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, I like big tall boy radio on about that. It's never going to happen.
Never. I can tell you that. Yeah.
But that's what they do now. They do like warm murals. And Dave, I think you said you were going to sort them out with some business when you were moving your business offices, didn't you?
Yeah, we'll look to get that when we move into our new office. Absolutely.
Just a reminder. I like that. It's the networking, which is good, which I like that. I like that. It's not what you know, it's who you know in this world. And I like that. And I stand that by firmly. That's what it is.
Yeah, 100%. So we've talked a little bit about your journey.
Yeah.
And we've talked a little bit about the food that you offer. But I tell you what, the key thing for me, my favorite part of the meal, dessert, dude.
Oh.
Tell us what dessert and cocktails. Do you do any signature cocktails?
We do like have Mr. Biggs's rum punch.
Yeah,
it's a punch. we've had people come in, right? And when I have these brunches, they would have the brunch, and they'd be like, oh, it tastes really nice. I can't really taste the alcohol. I can smell it. I can't really taste it. Two cups in, that's it. They want more. That's the biggest sellout of one of those really, really nice. Like the Ray and Nephews is like 76%. So you can imagine that you have to put the black rum in there, and then you got your fruit, all these different types of tropical drinks in there. So it gets a bit lively with that one.
I can imagine.
Desserts, I've got a page actually on Instagram called the Mr. Big Sweet Flavors. Now, I'll put a hold on to that, because obviously I'm concentrating on the restaurant and we do all these different lovely cakes. We even started doing wedding cakes and stuff. But the dream with that, with the dessert, funnily enough, right, I'm thinking of opening, I don't know yet, I don't know where, how, I'm thinking of opening like a dessert sort of shop on top of my shop, my restaurant, or somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
Nice little pink flower really and stuff like that. And, you know, it's going to be like, the partner's going to run that. So, she's more of like good at baking than me.
Play.
I'm a chef, I'm so... She can bake and I do that. Keep her away from my kitchen.
But that is something that you do see now that you didn't used to see in the past. Places just concentrating on doing desserts, though. So
yes, there's loads more now, isn't
there?
There's loads. And this is, do you know why that is? Like, this is the, again, word of mouth, which is social media. It looks good on there. Do you know what I mean? And there's a lot of people, because of the COVID, right? The COVID thing is... The delivery service thing has gone up way, way up. So when you see something that is on Instagram or whatever, and you want something sweet and you can get it delivered to you by pay, why not?
Yeah, it's lethal.
It's absolutely lethal. And the thing is, they're making a lot of money when it comes to the desserts. Yeah, because funnily enough, I haven't got a big sweet tooth, you know. I love cakes, but I haven't got a big sweet tooth.
Oh, my
God. And I haven't got a big sweet tooth at all. Like, you know, I love cakes. I love cakes. Like if my birthday is, if I don't have a cake, it's a crime. It's a crime. I can remember when I was 16, my mom, I come back from school. I'm excited. The only thing I'm excited about is my cake. So I said to her, I goes, Mom, where's my cake? She goes, okay, any cakes now? You're old enough. I said, honestly, should have seen me. I was like a 5-year-old. Honestly, I know. Because 16, I was a big boy as well. You know what I mean? So all day at school, I'm thinking about this cake. And then I go home. My mom hasn't got me my cake. I'm a granddad, because my granddad, when I was younger, all the time on my birthday, would buy me cake. So for some reason, mom woke up that night, that day when I was 16, saying that there's no cake. I said, what, are you crazy? What do you mean there's no cake? She says, I don't ask for it all year round. It's once a year, I want a cake. That's what cakes are for birthdays. Where's my cake? So poor mom went to Morrison's and got me a caterpillar cake, so it was good.
Oh, the old caterpillar cake.
The old caterpillar cake. Have they won that case yet? Oh, what's going on with that?
I don't know.
It's gone quiet. There was a whole thing about that.
It has gone very quiet,
So we found out. That's your research now, Dave. Found that out when I tune in next time about the caterpillar wars.
Oh, they came to an agreement, didn't they? They made a joke out of each other on social media and it was all okay in the end.
All right, so they're friends now.
The friends now,
Should be falling out of a caterpillar.
I mean, people fall over for many silly things. I mean, look at Ed when he was facing that case over that, you know, saying that he took a sample of I can't believe it, Marvin Gaye.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, are you guys crazy? Are you all right? Everything, music that we listen to is sampled of something else. Remixes, hip hop is absolutely made on that. It's evolved through that, you know, using other people's samples.
Oh, yeah,
ridiculous. Yeah. I thought, like, listen, if he loses this, that's it. The world's coming to end. But luckily, he didn't lose. So it's all right.
I do love the way you said, like, yeah, you know, Ed. Like, you know, he's our mate, Ed.
Ed's our boy, you know. Ed. Good old Ed. You go have a cup of tea with crumpets with Ed. Ed's all right, man. Ed's respected in the hood, Dave. He's respected in the hood. They love him. You know what I mean? Because you know what that is? This is my theory. Ginger people and black people are the same. Do you know what I mean? Culturally, they're very similar. Because you got you blonde heads and all that, always, do you know what I mean? Trying to take the mickey out of the gingers, and they have it hard and everything, just like black people. So that's why we cool like that. That's my theory anyway.
I'll let you comment on that one, Dave.
Dave's like, no, I'm not touching that one. No, leave that alone. So he's your safety man. He's like the HR.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
Dave from HR.
So to take it back then, like I said, what we like to do, we will listen to now in 57 countries, I think it's could be 58, I forget already. Only a few of them in Africa, sadly enough. There's only about three or four.
Well, now I'm going to be telling them there'll be more then. I'll get all the 51 states, 51 countries in there, something like that. Yeah. And 51 countries, we'll get them in there. Don't worry, Dave, you don't worry. We'll sort it out.
But like I said, we like to share it out to all our listeners out there on the audio side of things as well. We know that people tune in because they want to learn something a little bit about the story. So I'm hoping that people are going to be tuning in and trying to find out a little bit about, you know, there'll be people who are listening who want to start a business, who want to start a restaurant. Yeah. You know, what's the best piece of advice that you could give those people?
Don't give up. Don't give up and believe in yourself. And again, I can't stress as much as I'd say this, you need the right partner beside you. If you're going to go into a business, with somebody else, make sure that they're 100%. Do you know what I mean? And also make sure that they're trustworthy. Make sure that even if you do fall out, you can come back round 180 and be like, right, okay, you've had your 5 minutes, I've had my 5 minutes, let's do this. Do you know what I mean? And do not give up. Regardless, do not give up. And if it's in a restaurant business, if you're going to start the restaurant business, my advice, be the chef and be the owner. You understand what I mean? Yeah. Because when I started this journey, when I took my own restaurant, every like landlord or an accountant or a business owner, they'd be like, are you the one who's cooking the food? They'd be like, oh, brilliant. You're onto a winner. Because chefs, you have to understand with the restaurant, chefs, you get two chefs, they're either serial shaggers or alcoholics. that's it, honestly. And then if they're coming in into a bad mood, right, and they decide to go, just go up and leave, what are you going to do? You can't be saving anybody just like peanuts and stuff like that. You can't, can you? You know what I mean? No. Like, so if you're coming into the restaurant business, ideally you need to have somebody who's good at the paper side, and either you be the chef or you're good at the paper side. One of the two partners have to be good at one thing. You can't do everything on your own. And, you know, I know chefs, when you see chefs, they're like mostly, I don't know about any, I'm not speaking for any other chefs, but from what you see on TV, they're all shouting or stressed or whatever. Yes, it's a stressful job, but with me, I just learned to cool. Just chill out and don't give up. Don't give up. Get your paperwork in order. Most important as well, which I was proud of, because we got a 5 on the food and hygiene, which was really good, because keep practicing that, the logbooks. Learn about the logbooks. Learn about your food and hygiene. That's the most important, because I've always, I was stressing over that. And because I love my kitchen being clean. Because end of the day, you don't want to eat out. Like my mom has always had, as embedded this since we were kids, where you cook and you clean while you cook. You clean where you cook. She always says, listen, kids, my sons, you've got two sons, I will teach you how to clean your bathroom and clean clean the kitchen. Those are the only two areas of the house that need to be cleaned. Every other house can be a tip if you want it to be. Do you know what I mean? With your girlfriends or whatever, they'll sort the house. But make sure that the kitchen and the toilets are clean, because you can tell a lot about a person in the kitchen and the toilets. Yeah. I never thought about it. It never made sense when I was a kid, because I was angry all the time just watching it. I just want to be on the PlayStation or something, or Mega Drive. But it makes sense now as well. So, food and hygiene is very important. So if you got them you know, under wraps, you're good. Food and hygiene, right partner, the right drive, love what you do, and do not give up. And always, always experiment with food. Always trying out different types of food as well, so you can, you know, you can improve onto your craft. You can, because there's always room for improvement with food, which is so magical about it.
Yeah, like you say, food hygiene. I used to work in retail, and I do know. Do you know what I mean? It is one of those things that is important. The paperwork's really important.
Yeah, very.
However, it only takes one errant employee to shag your score, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's why I always drum it in my employees that before you come and wake up my place, make sure you get your food and hygiene sorted. Mm. If you don't get your food and hygiene sorted, you're not working in my kitchen. Yeah, that's the most important, because and the kids that I've employed, they've worked in under the food establishment. They'll be like, they'll be telling me mad stories about the kitchens, you know what I mean? Where they're, and I'm like, why are you telling me that? I used to eat there, do you know what I mean? And they'd be like, oh, like how you wash and clean, and maybe used to do something like that. I'd be like, what?
Frightening.
It's frightening. It is frightening. Because, and you know, I've been into kitchens myself as a chef. I've been into kitchens, other people's kitchens, and other restaurants, and you know,
yeah.
So like, yeah, yes, it's very important.
Just read out a couple of the comments that have been popping up. So there's a Kerry Dempsey says she is loving this, which is much appreciated. So does Kerry Bethwaite.
Shout also out to all the Kerrys.
And then Gaz has commented earlier saying he's sorry he couldn't be here tonight. But more important, his daughter said hello, which she is a big fan of yours.
Oh, been to hello.
So if you say hello to Amy, I know
yes,
she'd appreciate
Amy,
it.
What's really good? Your dad ain't been here. I don't know what's wrong with Gaz. Tell him I said hi for missing out. And all. But we've got Dave under the thing. He's sorting everything out.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Dave's in charge. Don't you worry about that.
Go on, Big Dave.
So we always keep these episodes to round about an hour because I have to edit them. You know what I mean? It takes up time.
I could have been here more than an hour. I love this, and especially whatever this Bradley B is really nice.
It's a good one. Yeah, Vault City. Yeah, all the way from Edinburgh. They do different ones. One I want to try and get my hands on.
Yeah.
And it's around about £10 a can, and it's about 15%.
Okay.
And it's a deep fried Mars bar flavored one.
Really?
I want to get my hands on.
Okay,
that.
When you get that in, you let me know. I'm going to come in, just have a drink.
Yeah, that's fine, dude. I'll pick some up.
We'll see if Dave is about as well. Do you drink, Dave?
No.
Dave? Do you know what? I want to get to know more about Dave. You know, he's more interested than me. What do you mean you don't? So, what do you do, Dave? Like, what's your favorite meal, Dave?
Favorite meal? It's terrible, isn't it? I'm not a big foodie. I don't particularly bother with food.
Yeah.
So Dave
means you can never get along. What do you mean you don't like food? Like, how do you survive?
No, I eat food, obviously, but I just don't. I don't have a passion for food. I don't think, I really want to eat that. I really want to savor it and enjoy that. I just don't, probably because I was brought up in Stoke having oatcakes and lobby. But I do. I am going to come in and I'm going to have the Jamaican the jerk chicken
because you know, are you sure?
I do like.
Okay, jerk Dave. When you do come in, yeah, we'll sort that out for you. Not a problem. I'm going to expand your horizon, your taste buds horizons. Okay.
I have had jerk chicken quite a lot, but.
Where from though, Dave? It's not my jerk chicken. Though, isn't it, Dave? Do you know what I mean? You're out here saying that you know you don't know anything about food, but you've tried jerk chicken. Oh, Dave, he's telling me lies.
We know he is.
Okay, what sort of drink are you? So you don't drink an alcoholic, so you drink water.
I don't. I've got some alcohol-free beer though. So that's okay.
Dave, I'm done with him. Right. Adam, what's your favourite food?
My favourite food? I love Indian food, to be honest with you. However, like you say, stuff like your fried chicken. I'm off to Texas in a couple of weeks' time, so my cousin's
the land of barbecue.
That's it. He has promised me some serious, serious barbecue. I'll show you a picture of his grill before.
Yeah, please.
It is something
please.
Special.
And then when you go there as well, just send me some pictures as well and videos.
I will.
If you've got some secret recipes down there, just bring them down.
Oh, okay. Well, no problem.
Share the
no
profits.
Problem. I'll get you some of his famous rub.
Yeah.
I'll bring it back.
Don't bother bringing anything for Dave.
No, it's wasted. Wasted on Dave.
You know what I mean? I'm like Marmite. You know what I mean? We're getting Marmite from the airport, Dave.
So, did you want to let our listeners know then where they can find you on social media? Tell them a little bit about where they can find your restaurant as well.
Right. My restaurant is in Osage in Crewe Road. I forgot the 48 ST7 2ET. in good old Osages. So it's Mr. Big Swavage. You won't miss it. A big sign with my face on. Handsome face, you know it's me right there. And yeah, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram as Mr. Biggs Flavors. But you must know on Instagram, yeah, there's an imposter.
I see.
And yeah, he hacked my old. That was my old. Do you know what's so bad about it? That was my old. I was on 8K or maybe on 10K. And then I got hacked. So I had to start all over again. I'm on 7K now. I'm doing all right.
It's good. It's good.
All right. That was only a year, by the way. A year for all you haters out there that doubted me. But you can find me on Instagram. But on Instagram, there's no underscores or anything like that. Just Mr. Big's favorite little orange sign with my face on. That's me. That'll be there. Just message me if you don't believe me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So then that wraps it up for this week. Did you want to say goodbye to our listeners?
Listeners, it's been emotional. Mr. Big's Flavors will be back again. Hopefully be talking about some other, you know, new stuff that I want to do. And hopefully Dave gives me some good answers on some food that he's tried. So everybody, I want everybody to comment that Dave, give him some comments of what he needs to try, what different foods he needs to try, please. Could be anything. Could be crocodiles, testicles, anything. I don't mind, but he needs to try. That's the challenge for Dave. We should start a charity on that, you know.
We should.
We should, you know. And Dave, like, trying something new every month.
Yeah, that's it.
He'll be like, do you know, have you watched Ricky Gervais when they send the guy over to...
Idiot Abroad.
Yes. I'm not calling you an idiot abroad. We just call it Dave on the Munchies or something like that. Yeah, so you listeners, if you get into it, if that's a great idea, please run it through for Tallboy Radio so we can get Dave some culture in his mouth. Yeah.
Dave?
Are you up for that, Dave? And it'll be a charity, a good cause.
Absolutely. The wife will love that idea because she does go on to me quite a bit. Although I have eaten alligator, which you said crocodiles, but alligators are almost the same thing. I've eaten alligators.
Ooh, I've had cat alligators as well. It was really nice. It's like a fishy sort of meat, isn't it?
It's a funny looking meat. I've had alligator as well. Yeah. It goes pink as you cook it.
Yeah, it does. It's really insane. So we're eating reptiles, you know, so it's close to a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah. So dinosaur basically were eating.
Yes, I'll say that.
I mean, they were the apex of nature once.
Maybe that's why they went extinct. They were too tasty.
Tasty. This is what happened. Dave wasn't around. I don't know what his ancestors did. Yeah. They were eating grass.
Eating his lobby and oatcakes.
Lobby and oatcakes. The caveman and lobby. Forget all that meat out there. We've got lobby.
Go on then, Dave. Did you want to say your goodbyes to our listeners?
No, I don't think I do. No, it's been good fun having you on, Mr. Biggs, and it's always good to have people on. Local businesses we love having on this program. Gaz would always say the same thing, and to have a local business it is a bonus. And when it's one that is somebody's passion that they totally love and that they're so into it, that just makes it special again. And if you're gonna take the piss out of me, well, that's just the cream on top.
Dave, I'm not taking it. I'm just saying what's in front of me, Dave. You know what I mean? That's what I'm just saying. I bet your wife, if she listens to this, go, you know what, Dave, he's right. See, I told you. You know what I mean, Mr. Big said so. You know what I mean? You need to be excited, Dave. You try all these out, Dave. You can't. You know women. I know what women are like. You know what I mean? By next year, I'll be telling you I'm doing yoga. Honestly, on a short story on that, how powerful you women are. My friend, big muscly guy, gym guy, he goes to the gym. So last year, his wife decided to be vegan. So he come into the group, right? I don't know how brazen it was to do this. And he came into the lads group. He's like, there's nothing but vegan stuff in my fridge now. We're vegan now. Says, we are vegan. Says, what do you mean we are vegan? Yeah, vegan. That's all we eat now. Vegan. So when did you decide this? And he tried to, we're vegan. So your wife decided that you're vegan then, yeah? So 6 months later, I asked him, are we still vegan? He's like, no, we didn't get, we're not vegan. We're back to meat.
I thought you were going to say, no, we're not vegan, we're divorced.
Dave, not in this day and age. No man can afford to be a divorcee. It's not happening. You can't live on your own, Aileen. No man, you might make that happen. I think it's the government's plan. There's so many divorces going on. They'd be like, you know what? Let's put everything up. Yeah, so nobody can live on your own. You have to stick together. Yeah. You have to make it. Do what your grandparents did. I blame it on mobile phones. You know.
Go on.
Do you know why? Because Chris Rock said this. You know, like. His grandparents or his dad and mom, when he used to go work and his mom used to go, they never used to talk all day. They didn't have a mobile phone. They'd never no connection, no nothing. So if one of the kids had gone to the hospital, died, you'd know after work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So there was no connection. But now, if you ever notice, if you've gone work, you know, your missus or your wife will be texting you about shit that you can know about.
That I should have done.
Yeah, yesterday. All that. Yeah, from when you're at work.
Yeah. Hopefully she's not watching this in the other
room. No. So Dave, just delete your phone. But it's been brilliant, honestly. Thank you for having me over. And guys, if you're out there, Tallboy Radio, you guys are the best, honestly. No. I hope to be back again.
Absolutely. We always say to our guests, you're more than welcome to come back. You know what I mean? If ever you want us for anything, you want us to do something, you want to do an outside broadcast, just give us a shout. We'll bring the equipment. We'll be there. That's not a problem.
Dave, would you be there if I asked you to come?
Absolutely.
Me and Gaz will be there.
Dave, I don't like false promises, Dave. I will find you, you know. I know a guy who can track down IP addresses. This is the world we're living in, Dave.
It's fine. You can track me. I'm in a different country.
He's worried.
He's like, he's a different country. It's all right. The wife is like, no, have him over. Have him over so we can have some food. Have him over. Go on.
Absolutely. He's not. He's in church, Lawton, just for the record. So that's just leaves it to me then to wrap it up and say thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We'd love to have you back at some point in the future. Perfect. And if anybody's out there, if you are local to the Allsager area, or if you're not, come check out the restaurant. He's given you the address. Have a look on the social media. It won't be the last time you hear this guy. I can promise you this. So we will say goodbye for this week and thank you for listening.
Thank you. See you later, Dave.
Take care. Dave is concerned. Dave is officially concerned.